This novel was extremely popular. It was one of the best-selling novels of the 18th century, with more than 50 editions or reprints between its publication and the end of the century. But it was also very controversial because of certain unique features that it had. And the first of these is that the heroine is not married at the end, either to her Inca lover, who in fact converts to Christianity and marries a Spanish woman, or does she marry her French suitor, who falls in love with her right at the start when he rescues her from the Spanish. Instead, Graffini's heroine opts for independence. Now, this emotional independence is matched by a kind of intellectual autonomy. Zilia doesn't convert either to Christianity, even though she's visited by a priest who tries to do just that, to convert her. And in fact, Zilia is quite outspoken on the subject of Christianity, not least in Letter 19, where she comments on the mental stagnation of girls who live in convents. The very ending of the novel evokes the heroine's appreciation of nature, but an appreciation which focuses not on God the Creator, but on her own sense of self. This, I think, is the most powerful expression of her independence and autonomy. Now, within a year of its publication, the novel was followed by two rewritings which attempted to give it a much more conventional ending. The first was an anonymous sequel which focused on Zilia's refusal to marry her French suitor and opened up the possibility of a marriage in the future. The second was more of a rewriting than a sequel, and it covered the same ground as Graffini's text, but from the perspective of her Inca lover, Aza, and this also ends with the prospect of Zilia's marriage, but this time to Aza, not to D'Iterville. But what both of them do, for all that they're very different from each other, is to normalise Zilia's role as a heroine. They both focus on Zilia as a woman of feeling, destined inevitably for marriage, and they both reduce her independence as a critical observer. Now, both of these works significantly announce their intention in their titles. The first one is called Sequel to the Letters of a Peruvian, as if the last word had not been spoken by Graffini, but by the anonymous writer of the sequel. And the second work, entitled Letters of Aza, had as a subtitle Conclusion of the Peruvian Letters. Now, significantly, both of these works were very often published in editions of Graffini's novel, as if it were being quite literally and physically completed by others. When Graffini republished the novel, though, in 1752, in an expanded luxury edition, this was a mark of the novel's huge popularity, but it was also an act of defiance by the novelist. She took no account at all of the calls for her to marry off her heroine. Instead, she underlined her own and her heroine's intellectual credentials. She wrote the historical introduction, providing the reader with much detailed information about the Inca Empire. And she added two new letters, numbers 29 and 34, which emphasised the heroine's credentials and function as a critic. But perhaps most significant of all, she did nothing at all to the ending, except for one small addition, which looks very banal, and that is the inclusion of a phrase, end of the second and last part. There can be no more continuations. For Graffini, this was the last word.